All right, we are here, and welcome. Today we speak about giving and receiving. Now, giving and receiving is actually one energy, one flow, but it's in a cycle. Giving, moving out from you to another or to your world, receiving from other or world back to you. It is a continuous cycle. Many times we notice people who have difficulty either giving or receiving or both. And they can be in meditation, clearing out their chakras. They can do all sorts of healing on themselves. But if they're not actively in some way in their life giving and receiving in a general kind of way, the energy field generally just kind of sits there. We've seen quite a few people who are very, very bright, very light individuals, beautiful, big aura, but nothing's moving. It is giving and receiving that activates, that energizes your energy field, that energizes your aura, that utilizes your chakras, that gets your motivation moving, that gets your physical and emotional vitality in flow. Giving and receiving as both actions enable you to interact, engage with your world in positive ways. It is imperative for spiritual development and personal growth to practice giving and receiving until it's effortless. By nature, giving and receiving is effortless. However, over the years and through various and sundry woundings and painful experiences, most people shrink back from giving and receiving. First of all, receiving is looked upon as perhaps being selfish or indulgent. And while you pick that attitude up in childhood, or perhaps in adolescence, you forget in adulthood consciously where you get that idea, and it just maintains an inhibition of receiving. Very often, an adolescent, you discover that receiving makes you feel a bit vulnerable, makes you, in a sense, seem to be one down, giving others an advantage over you. And also, as you become older, you discover this whole idea of exchange, that people think that if you receive something, or most people are trained, that if you're a good person and you receive something, you need to give something back in kind. This puts somewhat of a pressure on a person to receive, because even if it's something you don't want, you're expected to give something in return. Now, we want to clarify that this obligation, so to speak, to give something in return, to create what you might think of as a kind of balance, is really what we call an exchange. It's not really giving and receiving. It is an exchange. You give, yes, you do give and you do receive, but it's not a flowing cycle. It is a conditional one. It does not help you get into a flow, into the divine flow. It does not help you manifest what you want in your life either. So our recommendation is to look at giving and receiving. Why? And how do you give? And why and how do you receive? So that you can understand if you have obstacles or limitations, or where you are blocking your flow. Success, financial success, romantic success, all is dependent on having an easy and harmonious giving and receiving, to have that cycle just working automatically, the way it was intended to, part of your creation. It's about giving and receiving. It is a flow of energy. And in your giving, you grow. In your receiving, you grow. There is nothing bad about giving or receiving. But by your training, all sorts of conditions are put upon it. Most of the time, when you're being raised, you are considered to be kind of selfish if you don't give. Children, by their nature, are selfish. But part of their socialization process to make them good citizens, to make them good people, is to teach them that they must give, that giving is a good thing. Sometimes this giving is so much focused upon that it is focused upon exclusively without even any thought of receiving. So a person is expected to put out and keep putting out and to keep putting out. And this is a good person. Just keep putting out. And when someone says, well, here, let me give you something. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm being a good person here. Don't interfere with my process. I want to be the good person. I want to be the giver. The giver is the one who is looked up to. The giver is the one who obviously is empowered. The giver is the one who is the good, good, noble, worthy person. Religions, of course, reinforce this, but all cultures have it in a certain way in order to enable that culture to continue forward. It does require a tremendous amount of giving. However, much giving is what we would call forced giving. For example, if someone asks you a favor, you are being put in a position of being forced to give whatever it is that they ask. Now, you may not have people coming up and asking you for something all the time. But in your past, you've had this situation where you are expected that if someone asks you for something, not to say no, but to say yes, because that's what a good, nice, caring, loving, friendly, supportive, smart person will do. All the saints, all the people that seem to be the most spiritual, the most holy, are incredible givers. Just giving, giving, giving all the time. No one stops to think, where is all of that coming from? But what most people end up doing is giving when they are required to. They have to pull it out of themselves. And they can feel depleted by it. Or they can feel that they are focused or channeled, their energies channeled, their energies, in a sense, being corralled, controlled by another's expectations, another's assumptions that if they ask, you must deliver. A lot of people get into tremendous hot water because of that. Because they make the assumption that someone is needing or demanding or requesting or is assuming that they must give. Many times, for example, a man in a relationship, in a marriage, will assume, hey, I've got to be the breadwinner. I've got to bring in the money. And the woman will assume, oh, I've got to be the supportive person and I've got to cook the meals and I've got to raise the children. Whereas actually, you know, it is a combined experience, negotiable. But there's assumptions that are made in your culture. And so therefore, a lot of giving is by a person who's assuming that they must. Now, giving is something that's really natural and fun for people. But when you have forced giving foisted upon you, you, in a sense, resent it. You can get angry that I've got to give, and if I don't give, I'm a bad person. So they're going to judge me. They're not going to like me. They're not going to accept me. I've got to give. And sometimes you think your giving, you confuse it with earning, will enable you to be part of a group, to belong. I'll give, and then I'll belong. They'll like me. because I have something to give to them. The only reason that they stay with me or they like me or they include me is because I give to them. And giving can be your energetic activity, it can be money, it can be whatever. But there can be that assumption developed that giving is a requirement. And so the natural joy of giving that human beings actually have as a spiritual essence, as a part of what they really are, gets lost, gets blocked. To save energy, energy that would be depleted with forced giving, people have a tendency to restrain, to restrict themselves. This is often seen in a situation where a person is working a job for survival, not very interested in the job, doesn't particularly like the job. It takes a lot of time. They have this secret that they really want to do this beautiful, wonderful, creative activity, but they have to do it after the job is over. But most people who are working so hard to cover their basic nut find that having to overcome that resistance to doing, to giving of their energy, giving of their time to that job, to that work, is so stressful. They are worn out by the end of the day. And then they're thinking, oh, now I get to do what I want to do. And they're exhausted. Oh, let me just hang out here in front of the TV. Or let me just sit in front of the computer for a while. And that creative thing, that dream can get lost. Because every time that you do what you don't want to do, every time you make yourself do anything, and giving it sometimes is at the top of the list, you can tire yourself out. You could wear yourself out. This is commonly often seen in people who are in families with certain family members who are ill, who are having difficulty, physical difficulty, and one becomes a caretaker for a mate or parent or child or some family member, that the giving can seem to be required indefinitely. There seems to be a bottomless pit. There's never enough that is done. There's always more need, more need. So many people find themselves in caregiving to be exhausted. It is exhausting work to make yourself continuously focus on someone else's needs, someone else's priorities, continuously, continuously, continuously ignoring your own. Well, now, this type of giving, whereas even though it's done in the greatest of love and the greatest of care and consideration, it's still forced giving, ultimately, because you always have to go past the joy of giving. It's a requirement. It's a demand. It's a need. So giving can then, therefore, be stressful, and the internal resistance to doing more and more and more makes it even harder and exhausts the person. There are even wonderful organizations that have built themselves up in which there's a support for the caregivers, to give caregivers a day off for them to rest, to relax, perhaps for caregiver women to stay at a spa and you'd be pampered all day. Sometimes all they really want is just to get a good extra sleep. Giving can be depleting if it's of yourself, if there is a sense of really being required to, that you must sacrifice your awareness, sacrifice your choices, your preferences, your desires, your motivations. And we would say that if you get stuck in one of this type of forced giving patterns, to recognize you're not really giving in the sense of that flow of giving and receiving. Forced giving is really much more an exchange. The exchange is, I will do this for you, and you will consider me a good person. Or I will do this for you, and then I won't feel guilty. I may be angry. I mean, maybe mad as hell, but I won't feel guilty. I won't feel like I'm a bad person. That's an exchange. You get something, you earn something in exchange for what you have to do, for the force that you have to use on yourself. Now, a lot of people use giving as a way to manipulate and control. In other words, they can give you something and expect you to feel guilty enough. If you just say yes and take it, that you'll feel guilty enough that you will at some point see it as an exchange and give you something or give you some kind of preference in return. A lot of times people give things in marketing campaigns, and they find that if they give people freebies, people are more likely, for example, to buy the product. Or if they are fundraising and they want people to donate to the cause, they give them something. They mail them something in the mail, and the person, oh, wow, they gave me something. I owe them now. And these fundraisers have found it to be really quite successful because so many people, to avoid that guilt, feel obligated to exchange, to return some favor, sending their money in for the fundraiser, for the cause, whatever it is. However, that, of course, is not true giving and receiving. It is still an exchange. And it is based upon a motivation that the person who is being given to has that basic training to feel guilty if they don't exchange. There are people who, when they're given something, feel guilty just off the bat, even if they refuse it. Then they feel guilty for refusing it. And so they get stuck into a catch-22. They feel guilty either way. Sometimes fear is the motivation, that if you're given something, you may be afraid that if you don't give something in return, something bad could happen. That person would not like you. This is a manipulation. Guilt and fear in the mix always indicate a manipulation. It doesn't necessarily mean that if you are feeling guilt or fear when someone gives you something and you're not really inclined to receive it or to respond or give something back, that you're a bad person. It doesn't imply that at all. What it implies, though, it doesn't imply that the other person is manipulating you. What it implies, though, is that you are making that assumption. You're assuming that all the giving that someone else is giving to you has a cost. There's a price somewhere, and you need to pay the price. And if you don't pay the price, you are beholden to this other person. You owe this other person. Anytime you feel you owe somebody something, and it's not part of a contractual agreement, such as for such and such service, you pay me so much an hour, or so much for this process, or so much for this, and signed it, or it agreed upon it, then it's not a contract. But most people feel it is anyway. They assume that you've got to respond in a certain way. This makes people not want to ask for anything either. Because if you ask somebody for something, what are you putting that person through? If you ask for something, that person could very well be feeling guilty. Uh-oh, they need something from me. They want something from me. I should, as a good person, as a nice person, I should be friendly and I should do it. But I don't want to do it. I'm really not in the mood to do it. So, but I will do it anyway. But if I do this, if I do what they want me to, then I'm expecting them to be nice, nicer to me. See, you can assume that that's what people are thinking. You can assume that that people are expecting you to behave in certain ways. So in order to really experience the true flow of giving and receiving, you need to let go of the societal programming. First of all, recognize that the natural proclivity of human beings is to give and also to receive. Just because when you did most of your receiving, you were a child and dependent and powerless, doesn't mean when you're an adult, you're still dependent and powerless when you receive. It is a natural flow. But naturally, people actually like to give. They do. There are circumstances in your own personal life where you do like to give. You like to volunteer. You will volunteer your support, your help, your ideas, your enthusiasm. You'll volunteer something to someone. It's your gift. You're not expecting them to return it. And you can forget sometimes that a lot of people will say, well, what, you know, in their mind, as you give, it's like, oh gosh, and now I'm beholden. This person's really nice and so on, and is really friendly, and I really appreciate it, but I'm really beholden now. And how am I going to ever pay them back? How am I ever going to balance these books? And they keep record. It's like points. Now, you've probably done that too. And see who's ahead and how far behind am I? There are many relationships that have fallen apart because one person does so much more giving. Just give, 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 give to the other one, and the other one starts to feel guilty, 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 and eventually gets really, really pissed and eventually feels overwhelmed and over-pressured and over-demanded upon. I can't give back all of this. There's no way I can give this back. No way I can exchange this. No way I can, be worth all of this because they're manipulating me. I don't like this. I can't handle this anymore. I've got to get out of here. And the person who gives says, what happened? My partner ran away. And all I was doing, I was giving. I wanted to give. I wanted to help them. I wanted to do this for them. I wanted to do that for them. What's wrong with that? Well, recognize that sometimes if you are in the other position, you're going to probably experience that overload too. Oh my gosh, I am beholden again and again and again. This is too much. I can't balance this out. I owe too much now. And now it's becoming too much pressure, too much demand for me to respond and to give back. I don't have it to give. It's too much. Now I'm getting really angry. Now I gotta stop this. So recognize that when you freely give, that other person you're freely giving to may be going through all of this loop-de-loop-de-loop, wondering what you're doing and what they have to do to repay you so that they are not beholden, so they don't owe you, so they don't feel that pressure or that demand. You may not be aware of how people are responding to you when you are giving. But think about it, that how you respond inside when somebody is just giving a lot to you. There's a certain point at which you can say yes, yes, if you like what they're giving. But that over a certain line, all of a sudden, you start to get very uncomfortable. What's going on? You start to feel a little guilty. You start to feel anxious. Something is expected of me now. I can't just keep receiving. That's just selfish. That's just, they're expecting something. So recognize that this is so built in that you're probably going to experience it, even if mentally you're telling yourself, I'm going to give freely and I'm going to receive freely. It'll still come up just because it's part of your collective culture. Now, if somebody wants to give you something you do not want, you have to recognize that you do not want it, number one. And number two, thank them for the offer, but tell them that you just don't use that or you don't really prefer that. You've got to have a nice way to say no. And you've got to be able to say no and realize inside yourself you can't say no and still feel guilty. Because even the gesture of giving is considered a point. They offered me something. I said no, but there's still one ahead of me now. Don't do that. If someone gives you something that you want, assume that it's being given unconditionally. And if you like it, choose it and say thank you and feel gratitude for it and appreciate this person's giving to you. If the person keeps doing it and it's stuff that you like, something that you like to receive, thank them, feel gratitude for them. Pay attention to what goes on in your mind, because at some point, it's going to cross some little line and you're going to start to get uneasy. What do I need to give back? You have to, at that point, remind yourself, I am practicing receiving freely. And I will continue to do so. Or perhaps the next time they give you something, you say, well, thank you. This is so wonderful. Is there anything that you're expecting from me? I mean, I'm not giving you stuff back in return. Is there anything that you're expecting from me? And most of the time people will say no, because they finally found somebody who will receive something they want to give, perhaps, and be grateful for it. But sometimes you can see the flash over the person and like, oh, this person isn't really offering to equal the energy. They're just asking me if I'm expecting anything. We want to make it clear. You don't say, can I do anything for you? Because that means you're in the exchange modality. Instead, say, do you expect something back from me? To find out, where is the person really coming from? Just make sure. Are you sure it's okay for me to be able to just receive this? Sometimes you can actually bring it up that way. Like sometimes gifts are given out to buy votes. You know, can you say, oh, ha, you want my vote now, ha, ha, ha. You can make a joke. See how well it goes over, you know. You can tell. But the point is that you've got to be conscious in your receiving and conscious in your giving. You've got to be responsible to yourself and manage your energies correctly so that you don't get stuck in this exchange or this guilt, fear, motivational energy, so that it doesn't distort your motivation to make you do things otherwise you wouldn't do because you think you should. Because as soon as you do that, that's forced giving. Now you're going to deplete yourself energetically, spiritually, emotionally. Now, what if someone's giving something to you that you don't want? Then you have to say no. And you say it nicely. But don't, therefore, give them a point. It's clear. It's done. You respect yourself. It's really fine. Just appreciate them. That's about all you want to give them. If you feel that somebody is trying to influence your behavior or put a certain weight on something, like you're part of a committee and they're, you know, sucking up to you and so on, so that you will vote for the project of their choice, then you might want to use a little bit of humor, about that, such as buying the vote or whatever. You want my vote, huh? And they'll go, oh, no, 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 it's just whatever. Okay. You want the other person to be sure, to be really clear. You're not playing the exchange game. And you do it in a very pleasant and very honest and friendly way. You don't do it in any kind of cold way, any kind of logical, rational, numeric kind of way. Okay, well, you gave me this. Well, I want you to just know I don't feel obligated to give you anything. No, you don't say it that way. You always want to appreciate that a person is making some kind of effort in your direction, even if it's something you don't want. So that appreciation, maybe you might say that's an exchange. You could perhaps see it that way. But at least if you do, then you won't feel guilty. Right? Now, if somebody just wants to get close to you, wants to, you know, just be with you, spend time with you, that's also the same kind of thing. They give you something, and then they want to spend time with you. Well, what you want to say is here is like, you have to be able to say, no, I don't really feel like getting together, you know, whatever it is that you are doing otherwise, you just kind of continue to do that, and you thank them very much and appreciate their interest. After a while, if you can be very clear about it, then they get to make a choice that's appropriate. It's not up to you to make sure that they feel fulfilled, that they feel happy, that they have companionship if you don't want to provide it. You must be honest. Not that you have any judgment against anyone, and this is very important. Don't judge anybody for what they're giving you or the assumptions you make about what they're expecting of you. Don't judge people. Don't assume that. Stay in your own space. If you stay responsible to what you're feeling and make sure you do not feel guilt, you do not feel any kind of anxiety or uneasiness that you might be a bad person or that you're under pressure and demand and you've got to do something about it, you will be okay. You will be free of that stress. You will have your energy returned to you. Your emotional energy, your spiritual vibrancy. And what will happen, therefore, is that your giving will be more elegant, be more true, be more real, untainted, and your receiving very easy, very flowing. You'll be able to go and ask somebody for something, and if they say no, it's totally fine, rather than feeling rejected because you've put weight and significance on it. You've made it a referendum of your value. Ask for what you want. And if the person says no, oh, okay. Recognize it's not to be taken personally. But most often, if you can stop taking no personally, you'll find you'll get a lot more yeses. It'll be a lot easier for you to receive, a lot easier to ask. You'll also get a clearer perception of who to ask and how to ask. And pretty soon you'll notice that you're in this flow. You're giving and you're receiving. Now, a lot of people, when they have problems with giving and receiving, they go hide out. They go shut down. There's a lot of people who kind of live alone and are kind of shut down because they don't know really how to give and receive freely, and therefore it's too much stress. It's just easier not to be in a relationship, not to have anybody around. It's just easier without people. But, you know, it doesn't really work in the long run for anyone. It can make you feel lonely after a while. But giving and receiving is where you connect. It's where you connect to others, to your world. It's where you can love, touch, and heal. and be loved, touched, and healed. It's pivotal. It's a part of your spiritual nature to give and receive. So pay attention to the energy. You will tell, you can tell by how tired you feel emotionally, or what you think about, if you think about giving something to somebody or receiving from that person, if there's a stressful feeling, you know, oh, I've got some issue about giving and receiving. I need to clear it inside me. Not judge them. Not blame them for bringing stress into your life. No, but to think within yourself. How do I need to clear this now? What do I need to clear? How do I get this guilt, this fear cleared out, this pressure, this demand released from me? And the more that you can do that, when you get that going, when you get that cycle of giving and receiving going, the magic, everything starts lining up. Your reality just starts putting stuff together for you, because there's no obstacle. There's no resistance anymore if there's no guilt or fear or demand or pressure, manipulation, exchange, earning. There's nothing left. So don't give to earn. Give responsibly. Don't give something that you can't afford to give. If you have very little physical vitality, physical energy, don't give your physical energy, because you'll deplete yourself. It's not about any depletion whatsoever. Giving needs to be a kind of a spontaneous flow of energy. We're not saying spontaneous in your choice to do it. You may choose to do it and then several hours later actually do it. Hopefully you'll still be in the same choice. If you have shifted, then don't do it. You must stay true to yourself. You cannot force yourself to give. And don't try to earn anything. Don't try to manipulate. Be clear in your giving that it's because you just want to give. And when you do that, you tap into your essential spiritual nature. And when you allow someone else to give to you, when you ask for something that person has, a connection, a resource, anything that would be helpful for you, and you ask for that, receive. Allow yourself to be clear that you receive responsibly and responsible to yourself, respectfully of yourself, without guilt, without conditions. Give someone else the opportunity to give freely. They can always say no. Assume that everyone can say no, because generally, most cases, that's the truth. Most cases, except in contractual arrangements. You've agreed contractually always to say yes. You know, if your boss says you need to do this, yes. I want you to do that. Yes. You will give that energy to that project because that's your contractual arrangement. But short of that, let's look at it from free giving. You're giving another person the opportunity to give to you. Or you're just giving because it feels really good. There's people who volunteer, go to a soup kitchen because it touches their hearts. They just have so much compassion for these people, and they love them. They want to give to them. Give of your resources that you can. Give of your heart love. Give of your compassion, of your caring. And when you do responsibly, you retain your energy. You're not forced. You don't create problems. For example, the channel was married before to a fellow, and they were hippies living in a commune. Now, they didn't have much money at all. But another person in the commune had some really bad dental problems, had no money to afford some dental work that was very necessary to be done. So the channel's husband took his his earnings, that he was working at a factory, and he took his factory wages, took those earnings, and he gave them to this person to do their tooth surgery with. A beautiful gift, indeed. But because of that, the Channel and her first husband there were unable to pay their rent on time, their share of the commune expenses. And that raised the ire, and rightfully so, of the gal who was pretty much running that commune. She was the one who was organizing the finances, collecting, and so on. It really bothered her. Of course it would. That was an irresponsible giving. So be aware, even if you have so much compassion, do not give what you do not have. Respect your own boundaries. Don't get yourself into hotter water than you can afford to get into. But once you get into the flow of giving and receiving, you will feel the difference. It's not static. It's actually, there's a sense of movement. You feel like you're moving, going somewhere in your life. And the connection with others is beautiful. So much more love, so much more joy is generated by that. So much of a feeling of freedom. When you give freely, it is exhilarating. And when you receive freely and unconditionally, it is exhilarating. It is part of your spiritual path. It is part of your journey. And the more you can practice giving and receiving, after a while, it will become automatic. You don't have to think, am I feeling guilty? Does this person expect this of me? What am I trying to do here? Do I need to earn, to give this to somebody to earn their approval? You won't be thinking in that way anymore. You'll just be in a flow, in a golden, divine flow. And when that happens, magic happens. So much love, so much magic. Your universe can just provide you with anything, everything, opportunities, glorious shifts and changes. But you do need to give something. You can't not give, because that stops the energy. You can't just wait to receive in order to give. That stops the energy. You must have something you want to give, a message, an object, anything, something, energy, attention, time, service that you want to give. No conditions, no control, manipulation, domination attached. No guilt or redemption or fear attached. You need to always actively work and participate. You can't be idle and lazy. That's not receiving. That's just stagnancy. But giving and receiving will initiate something beautiful when you do it correctly. Your soul begins to sing. You begin to be guided to more beautiful and more treasured circumstances. It's easier to be successful, to be happy, to be fulfilled. Giving and receiving cannot have one really truly without the other. They are a cycle. Essential to manifestation, essential to a healthy body, essential to a healthy life, a joyous life, a spiritual life.